Blog Talk Radio.
Make the summer we bless till we fool. Me a funny guy, the blessings are ready to go. Me a dead. Imagine caught a traffic light to cover a road. I'm too
blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just too anointed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. I'm so glad that you have joined me today. We have been studying having faith in the midst of trouble, and our subtopic today is whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? My friend, I want to know, are you on the Lord's side, or are you still serving the enemy of our souls? Praise God. I just appreciate those of you who have been studying with me, those of you who understand that truly God is good, that He is worthy to be praised, those of you who understand that God is just truly amazing. He is wonderful. He is awesome. I want to encourage you today that as we study together, understand this, that God loves you, He cares about you, and we are just so glad to be together again, knowing that God is truly here to bless you and to encourage you. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, we just magnify your holy name. We thank you, Lord, because you are truly awesome in this place. Lord, I thank you for those that are studying with me tonight. I pray, oh God, that you would move in a special way. Touch their hearts and their minds, oh God. I pray that you would truly bless them. Help them to understand, Lord, that you truly care about their families, that you care about their loved ones. And Lord, I just thank you because you are truly wonderful. And I pray, oh God, that as we break bread together, as we study the word of God together tonight, Lord God, that you would help us to not just be hearers of the word, but God, to be doers of the word. We thank you, Lord God, for reaching souls all over the world. Oh God, for drawing them to yourself. Lord Jesus, we love you. We want to serve you with all our hearts and all our minds. And oh God, we bless you right now. And we praise you in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Our topic for tonight, our main topic has been having faith in the midst of trouble. Our subtopic for today is whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? And just before we get into our main text tonight, which is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18, I want to read Psalms 150, it says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the psaltery and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise Him upon the loud cymbals, praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want to encourage you. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. I just want to encourage you tonight to praise God with all your heart. Praise Him with everything that is in you. Pray. The Bible says praise Him in the sanctuary. And it says praise Him with the firmament of His power. In other words, not only do we praise God when we're in church, but we praise God everywhere we are and every chance that we get. We need to give God praise, and we need to understand that God expects us to praise him at all times. He expects us to bless him with all our heart and with all our might. He expects us to give him our everything because he truly is worthy to be praised. When we begin to praise God with everything that is in us, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. We can understand that we can focus our hearts and our minds on serving God and blessing him. The Bible says, if you look down at the last verse, it says, let everything that had breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Everything that had breath. You know, there are some folks who don't want to praise God because in their minds they don't think that they have to. But the Bible says, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. In other words, while you are still in the land of the living, God expects you to praise him. While you still have breath in your body, God expects you to praise him. While you're still able to get out of bed, God expects you to praise him. You know, sometimes people have to get help out of their bed, but I guarantee you, even the folks that have to be assisted to get out of their bed, they acknowledge and they understand that God deserves praise because he created us, he made us, and he loves us very much. And so I like to start our studies with a praise because we cannot do anything without God. Without him strengthening our limbs, without him giving us the wherewithal to be able to speak and to move, we would not be able to do it. And so, dear friend, I want to encourage you that whatever you do, give God praise. Give God what he deserves because God truly loves you and he cares about you and he wants to be that person in your life that you can depend on. I want you to know, dear friend, that God is dependable. He is dependable, and that God wants to help you right now. If you would turn over with me to 1 Kings chapter 16 before we even get into chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 16, beginning at the 29th verse. In order to understand what's going on in chapter 18, you need to understand the foundation. And I know a lot of times we just open our Bibles and we just flip to whatever without understanding the context of what we are reading. But I want you to understand the context of 1 Kings chapter 18 by looking at 1 Kings chapter 16. It says, beginning at the 29th verse, it says, and in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelites build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub. according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, like I said, to understand the 1 Kings chapter 18, you need to know what happened before then. And what happened before then is that Ahab was reigning over Israel for 22 years, which is a very long time for us, especially when you're accustomed to a president only serving for 4 years or perhaps 8 years. 22 years is a very long time for those of us who live in an area where our president or prime minister only serves for a certain amount of time. If you look at the scripture, you'll see where the Bible clearly tells us that Ahab, up until this time, he was the worst ruler, the worst king that had ever reigned over Israel. Now, to know why God would say that about Ahab, you have to know what God had been telling his people. God had been telling his people that they were only supposed to serve him as the only true God. Another thing that he told them was that they were not to intermarry with other people outside of the Israelites. The reason why he told them not to intermarry with those folks is because every time they intermarried with them, they began to worship other gods. And so one of the things that he told them specifically was do not intermarry with them. Conquer the people around you. Go in and take the land because I have given you the land. But do not intermarry with them because I do not want you to become mixed up with other gods and what have you, because I am the true and the living God. And so this is one of the key things that God had already told them. Don't build any altars to other gods. Don't worship other gods and don't intermarry with them, because how many of you know that when a man really loves a woman has great influence on a man? And so Solomon was led astray because Solomon had over 700 wives and concubines. And so he was led astray during the latter part of his life, during the latter part of his reign. He was led astray because of the women. You know, when a man has problems with women, where he's constantly looking for a woman to satisfy him, and he does not have faith in God to keep him stable, to keep him situated, he's going to have problems. And so Ahab got a problem on his hand, because not only was he himself wicked in his heart, but he went and married someone from another nation, and she herself, she brought her gods with her. When she brought her gods with her, she turned her husband's heart towards those things. And as I've already said, a man is very soft when it comes to a woman that he really loves. A woman that he really loves can influence him in a lot of ways that other people outside the home cannot influence him. And so women have a lot more, you know, power over their husbands than people actually think. You know, husbands actually do listen to their wives, especially if they have a good wife. In this case, Ahab did not have a good wife. The woman that he married, her name was Jezebel, and she was very evil. And Ahab did not need any help in being evil, because apparently he already had an evil heart himself. And so two evil people hooking together was not a good thing. And so the Bible tells us in verse 33, and Ahab made a grove. That means, you know, a whole, you know, few acres or whatever. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Can you imagine? Over the years, Israel had some good kings and they had some bad kings. Every time they had a bad king, God would send a prophet to warn them and to tell them to repent. Then after that, they would have another good king who actually did the right thing. Then after that, they would have another bad king who did the wrong thing. Well, the Bible tells us that of all the bad kings that came before Ahab, Ahab was the worst. He really angered God. And I don't know about you, my friend, but I don't want to be the person to anger God. I want God to have favor towards me. I want God to open doors in front of me. And so I want to do what God is calling me to do. And I want to encourage you, dear friend, to do what God is calling you to do. Because the worst thing that you ever want to do is to have God mad at you. Amen. Can you imagine having the creator of heaven and earth mad at you? That is a bad place to be in, to have God angry at you. And so Ahab was in a very bad place right now. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 17, and Elijah the Tishbite, of course you know that Elijah was a prophet unto God. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Wow. Can you imagine the prophet of God coming to you and telling you it's not going to rain? And can you imagine your people suffering all because you as the leader would not do the right thing? Well, this is the case with Ahab. Ahab did not want to live right, and so the people in his kingdom were about to suffer. And the Bible tells us that Elisha spoke it, and what he spoke did come to pass. I want you to know, dear friend, that as you begin to serve the Lord and as you begin to seriously pray and seek the face of the Lord, you've got to be careful about the things that come out of your mouth, because what you say is what will come to pass. If you speak death over your life, then, well, you know, tell your family to stop making preparations, because if you sit around thinking about dying and speaking that over your life, then chances are you're not going to do the right things to protect yourself, to take care of yourself, and eventually, yes, you are going to die before your time. But if you could begin to understand that God has great things in store for you, and that God has already spoken life over you, God has already spoken some great things over your life for you to honor him, for you to trust him, for you to serve him with all your heart, for you to do the things that God is calling you to do. If you would begin to speak over your life that I know that I am called of God, and that God has great things for me, and that all I need to do is to acknowledge God in my life, to surrender my life to Jesus, to give him my all, and to begin to learn what I need to learn from the Word of God, and to build up my faith, you will see that when you open up your mouth to speak, that God will honor that. God will honor that. And so we continue in 1 Kings chapter 18. In 1 Kings chapter 18, let's see how many years it was that after Elijah opened his mouth, the Bible says that he told the man, the king, King Ahab, it's not going to rain until I say so. Now, if you're on the receiving end of that prophetic word, that cannot be a good thing. You know, if someone is going to speak a prophetic word to me, you know, honestly, I prefer that it's a good word. If it's a bad word, I don't really want to hear it, because who wants to hear bad news? I don't. I don't want to hear bad news. And so chapter 18 tells us how many years after that Elijah said, okay, well, they've suffered enough, and I'm going to let it rain again. So 1 Kings chapter 18, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. So what happens when it doesn't rain? Well, the land dries up. And so Samaria suffered because of the sin of their king. Ahab was a sinful man, and now the people of Samaria had no water, no rain for 3 years, and they were suffering. So look at verse 3. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And so we see that the famine was so great in the land, and Obadiah was actually the governor. He worked directly with the king. And so the king did not trust anybody else to go out and look for grass. He himself and his governor went out personally to look through the land to see if there was any grass that they could use to feed the cattle so that they would not lose all the cattle. And so while he went in one direction, Obadiah went in this direction, and there was where Elisha found him. Look at verse 6. It says, so they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Verse 7. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he says, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord had not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me, but I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. And so, we see an interesting exchange between Obadiah and Elijah. It appears that while Elijah was in hiding, because he had to go into hiding, because Jezebel would, you know, was, and Ahab were looking for him. Ahab was looking for him, and he sent to many different neighboring nations looking for Elijah, and nobody could find him. And so he took some kind of oath within himself. He swore that if anyone lied to him and said they saw him and it wasn't really him or what have you, he would just kill them. And so Obadiah said, you know, why would you approach me like this? You know, I fear God. I've always feared God from I was a young person, but why would you put me into a situation like this where you're going to tell me to go to the king and tell the king that you're here, and as soon as I turn my back, you're going to disappear? Please don't do this to me. Because, you know, of course the man wants to live. Who would not want to live a little while longer if you could? And so look at verse 13. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Elijah reassures him and says, look, I'm not going anywhere. This is the time that I need to meet with this king. We're going to have it out once and for all. You know, that's just my speculation. We're going to have it out once and for all. Go and tell your master that I am here. And so Obadiah, you know, after this exchange, he believes Elijah. And so the Bible says in verse 16, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, imagine him, the one who sinned and caused God to really speak against Israel. He's flipping it now and trying to make it seem as if that Elijah the prophet is the one who's actually troubling Israel. Look at verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So, in other words, Elijah tells him, I'm not the one who's been bothering Israel. You are the one. You and your father, you've been telling the people, leading them in the wrong direction and having them worship other gods. And I need to fix this once and for all. Look at verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel and unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. There were a great many of them, over 400 of them, that actually were part of that idol worship, worshiping other gods. And so Elijah decided, he felt led of the Lord to challenge them head on, to ask them to decide, let's see whose God is better. Whose side are you really on? I want to ask you, dear friend, whose side are you really on? Do you understand that in the midst of everything that you're going through, that God will help you? Do you understand that you can have faith in God and that you don't have to worry about what's going on around you that might seem difficult or challenging? When you put your trust in God, God is going to work it out for you. Elijah was living in a time where the king of Israel had turned away from the true and the living God. Not only had he turned away, but he had turned the people's heart away from the true and the living God. It did not matter to Elijah that he and just a handful of prophets were the only ones standing. Matter of fact, at this time, Elijah thought that he was the only one standing. It does not matter that the enemy will try to make it seem as if you are alone. I want you to know that you are not alone. Elijah stood against all of these prophets. But truly, although he stood there physically by himself, he was not alone because God was with him. And God is with you today. He is with you, my friend, to encourage and to strengthen you and to help you. And I want you to know that when you put your trust in God, everything works out just fine. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at the 20th verse, or continuing, I should say, with the 20th verse. The Bible says, so Ahab sent all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, you know, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it into pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. You know, perhaps sometimes people think that, you know, you should never challenge, you know, ask God to prove himself to you. But this is something that Elijah did. Elijah said, I'm going to prove to you that who the true and the living God was. And actually, Elijah was not asking God to prove himself to him, but he wanted God to prove himself to the people. So in other words, the people of Israel were constantly straying, constantly being led away by foolishness. And Elijah said, you know, I'm tired of you all halting. You know, you can't make up your minds. You don't know who the true and the living God is. You're confused. Don't be confused, my friend, about what you believe. Understand that God is God. Understand that he is still on his throne. He is still in control of everything, and he is still in control of your life. Elijah said in verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourself, dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. So what was the challenge? They were to put the sacrifice on the altar. Elijah had his altar. They had their altar. Put the sacrifice on the altar and don't light any fire. Let God light the fire. So their gods that they worship, the statues, he said, if they really have power, let them light it for you. And he said, if they, whichever God answers with fire, that is the true and the living God. And then we have settled this argument once and for all. And so in verse 26, it says, and they took the bullock which was given them, and this is the false prophets, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning, evening, until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now, this had to be hilarious, because they called all day long, and this fake god, Baal, the idol, did not answer. There was no voice. And so they got mad, and they jumped on top of the sacrifice, and they started yelling louder. Verse 27 says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. So Elijah began to make fun of them and said, perhaps he can't hear you, talk louder. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. So can you imagine, these people began to cut on themselves. And that's how, you know, when you see people who cut on themselves, that is very demonic. It is not okay to take a knife and cut up your skin. That's very demonic. These false prophets began to cut on their body, and they began to bleed all over this altar. But it did not make a difference, because the idol, the fake god, Baal, was not able to answer, because an idol is not a real god. Look at verse 29. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And so Elijah put up with them all day long until evening. And in verse 30, the Bible says, and if Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, and as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And so Elijah wanted to really prove his point. And so not only did he put the sacrifice on the altar and cut it up, he made a big thing around the altar, similar to some kind of a troll that you would use to carry water downstream. And he built that all around the altar, and he told them, bring lots and lots of water. And not only did they put it in the thing around the sacrifice, but he also poured it over the sacrifice. So there could be no doubt that this thing was drenched with water. And he said, look at verse 34, and he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. So three times they poured water in and around this altar. Look at verse 35. And it says, and the water ran about the altar, and it filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering at the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. So Elijah prayed a very simple prayer, but the purpose of his prayer was to let the people see that he was praying to the real God, the true and the living God, the only one God. And the other purpose of the prayer was to turn them back to God. For them, number one, for them to acknowledge that God is God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God. And the second thing, for them to turn back to God. You see, people can know about God, but will they actually turn their hearts to God? Elijah wanted the people to turn back to God. And dear friend, God wants you to turn your heart towards him. He wants you to serve him. And not only that, he wants you to tell someone else about him so that they too can serve him. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Can you imagine being one of those people standing there and seeing the fire of God coming out of heaven? The Bible says the fire of God came down and just ate up everything. In other words, the rocks disappeared, the water disappeared, the sacrifice was burnt up. The fire of God came down and burnt up everything immediately. Now, if you were one of those false prophets, I would think that you would either bow down and start worshiping or you would just run, because they had no recourse. They had spent all day long trying to get Baal, an idol, to listen to them and to do something, and nothing happened. They went to the point of cutting themselves up and bleeding all over the place, and nothing happened. And all Elijah did was speak to the true and the living God, and God answered immediately. I want you to know, dear friend, that God will answer your prayer immediately. He can and he will answer your prayers. It's something that he can do if he chooses to do. There are times in our life when God tells us to wait. But I want you to know, dear friend, that there are other times when God doesn't say wait, when he says, dear friend, I am the true and the living God, and I can help you right now. If you would just begin to pray and seek my face, I can help you. The Bible says in verse 39, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is the God. Verse 40 says, and Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Like I said, if I was one of those false prophets, from the time I saw that, I would have ran away. But they didn't. They stood there waiting to see what would happen. And what happened was, Elijah went ahead, and Elijah told the people, grab them and kill them. The reason why they did away with them is because had they stayed alive, they would have turned the people once again away from God. And back then, in that primitive setting, they did a lot of killing. They really did. If you study the Middle East, you will see that they still do a lot of fighting and a lot of killing. But that's just the way that they handled things back then. They did not allow the enemy to live. They took care of the enemy right away so that they would not be around to cause the people to turn away from God again. And so those evil prophets were killed right away. Now look at verse 41. After Elijah did this, it says in verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. It was a sign of humbling himself before the Almighty God. He totally bowed himself down and put his head between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. I want you to know that 7 is God's perfect number, my friend. 7 is a special number, and God created, and God did great things in sevens. And the Bible says, go, look again 7 times. You remember they even walked around Jericho 7 times. He was told to go and look. I want you to know, dear friend, that you don't have to see your breakthrough to know that it's on the way. You don't have to see your deliverance to know that it's on the way. If you would just believe God right now, God already has your healing on the way. He already has your financial situation worked out. All you need to do is trust God, because what you need, God has already provided. They did not, the servant of Elijah that was sent to look for the rain, he did not see anything, but Elijah knew that it was on the way because he had prayed. And God, when you pray and believe God, it's already on the way. Your answer, my friend, is already on the way. Look at verse 44. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, can you imagine being in the presence of a real prophet? Ahab was in the presence of a real prophet. Ahab went into his chariot with horses and went to the beginning of the city, to the gates. And Elijah, without any horses, ran and outran him and his horses. Now, I just want you to imagine that. Understand that God has the ability to take control of your situation. He has the ability to go before you and to take care of your problems. He has the ability to go before you and take care of your business with the bank, your business with the mortgage company, your business with your job, your business with your children, all of that, your business with your husband or your family members. God has the ability to go before you and to work things out for you. Stop worrying. Stop being stressed out. Have faith in God in the midst of your trouble. Realize whose side you're on. Acknowledge that you are on God's side, and then wait and see him work on your behalf. Elijah was a true prophet of God. The people were afraid of him. And if you study in the next few chapters, you'll see where even Elijah had a moment where he got down right after this. He became depressed. I want you to know that everybody has those days where they might get a little bit down. But the thing is, do not stay down. Do not stay depressed. Understand that God can and will work things out for you. Put your trust in God. Acknowledge that he is God. Don't put any other gods before him, because that will make him angry. But put God first and foremost in your life, and everything else will just fall into place. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My friend, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your circumstances look like, but I want to encourage you, stop looking at the circumstance, stop looking at the situation, and put your focus on God. Pray, seek his face, and God, who is able to do so, will hear and will answer your prayers. He is never sleeping. He is never slumbering. He never goes on vacation. But every time you need him, he is always there. He is always on time. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to know, friend, that Jesus died on the cross for you. He died that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want to encourage you, if you're not serving him yet, to surrender your life, ask Jesus to forgive you, ask him to come into your heart and serve him right now. If you're already a Christian, I want to encourage you to get stronger. Read your Bible, pray, fast, seek the face of the Lord, and tell someone else about Jesus. We did not get saved, my friend, just for our own selves, but we become Christians to be able to spread the gospel to the whole world, to be able to tell others about Jesus. Be encouraged, be strengthened, and thank you for studying with me again tonight. Our key verse is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen and amen. I want you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he is Lord, and he wants to be Lord of your life. Our thoughts that we always end our session with is, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't, and what you believe, you can achieve. I want you to know, my friend, that if you are persistent, you will be successful. Things are going to work out fine for you and your children and your family, your loved ones. When you don't feel like smiling, oh, show those teeth anyhow. My ladies who are looking for some kind of wrinkle cream, the best wrinkle cream that you can get is to smile. Smile every day. Smile every chance you can. Smile and keep on smiling. And when you feel like giving up, don't. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up, because when you have hope, you will have life. Don't ever give up. Don't give up on your dreams. There's a lesson that I have on Joseph where I talk about don't give up on your dreams. One of these times I will do that series. But the important thing is that understand that God gave you your dream for a reason. If he didn't give it to you, it would not be in your heart. He gave you that dream. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your future. Don't give up on your life. God has great things in store for you, and he wants to bless you right now. Why don't you pray with me as we conclude our lesson for today? And after the prayer, stay with me for at least one or two songs. Father, we just bless you. We magnify your holy name. We thank you because you are truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are truly our daddy who never forgets to put food on the table, who never forgets to have shelter for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us each and every day. God, sometimes we don't even see the blessing that's already on the way. But Lord God, we thank you for the blessing that's already on the way. We thank you because you're an awesome God. We thank you, Lord God, because we couldn't have made it without you. There's an old song, Lord, that says that we would be like a ship without a sail without you. Lord, I thank you right now. Oh, I bless your name. You are righteous and you are holy. Lord God, I pray for nations everywhere. Oh God, those nations that are fighting, constantly fighting, God, remember the people that live in those nations. Remember, oh God, our troops over in Afghanistan. Lord God, remember troops that are fighting all over the world for different nations, oh God. Lord, we pray for rulers of countries, oh God, that you would give them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Remember our president, oh God. Help him to make the right decisions, oh God. We pray, oh God, that the laws that are passed in the land will be just laws. Oh God, we pray, Lord, for families that are suffering financially, that you would encourage them and help them. We pray for those that are sick, God, that you would truly touch their bodies. God, that you would heal their bodies. Oh, God, we know that you're able to heal. We know that you're able to deliver. Every sickness, oh, God, blindness, we speak against blindness. We speak against, oh, God, that deaf, dumb spirit, oh, God. We speak against mental difficulties, oh, God. Schizophrenia, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And bipolar, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, oh, God. Suicidal spirits, we rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, all kinds of sicknesses, oh, God, we rebuke them and we bind them in the name of Jesus. That spirit of lesbianism, we bind it in the name of Jesus. That spirit of homosexuality, we bind it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you right now for delivering those that are sick, those with arthritis, oh, God, those with back problems and knee problems, oh, God. We rebuke it, oh, God, and we command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now. God, you are a healer. You are a deliverer, God. Remember those who are addicted to all types of substances. We thank you for delivering them right now. We bless you, God. You are truly wonderful. Oh, God, and we pray that we will never forget to give you praise, to give you glory. We bless your name, God. We give you glory, Jesus, and we say thanks to you. We say thanks to you right now, Lord. You are truly awesome. Oh, God, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. I thank you for those that will hear this broadcast, God. I thank you for those that are listening even now. I pray, oh, God, that you would truly bless that one. Oh, God, that one that has been looking for a blessing, looking for a breakthrough, oh, God. I pray that you would bless them right now. I pray that you would help them right now. Lord, we just give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And, Lord God, we just say thanks to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, friend. I thank you for studying with me. I thank you for praying with me. And right now, I just want you to listen to this song. It says, Nailed to the Cross. Lord, all your sins were nailed to the cross. I want you to listen to this victory chant. Hail Jesus, you're my King.
A pure peace and happiness in a me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am.